the meeting. And first order of business is roll call. And I think we are both here, so we will move.
I'm sorry, but.
No, you want to call?
Sure. City of Palm Desert. Present. City of Palm Desert.
Present.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Get to sign. And are there any agenda modifications? Okay. And are there any public comments on agenda items?
We received no written comments, and we have no public comment there.
Okay. And board member, executive director comments. I have none other than to welcome you all to Palm Springs City Hall, and thank you for meeting here.
No problem.
Okay. All right. Erica.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair. It's lovely to see you both in person. Our apologies on from our executive director. The City of Blythe holds a big annual conference once a year, and he is on his way to that in his other role as CVAG Executive Director. With you, and I thought if we could just take a moment in the agenda, I did want to introduce our team, since this is actually our first back in-person meeting, so you can see the faces you may have seen small on your screen. I'm Erica Felci. And in the audience, I'll start in the audience, we have Liz Barnwell. She's a management analyst for us, and who just did roll call and needed to step away for just a second, is Ellie. We have Kevin Brody. He is a program specialist for us and helps make our visuals look as snazzy as they do, and needs no introduction, I don't think, but David Friedman, he's our program manager. And you will meet the team from Burke Ricks when their presentation. We have Brian and Josh. And we do appreciate the city's hospitality in having the meetings here.
Great. Thank you. Next order of business is to approve the minutes from the February 6, 2023 meeting. I will move to approve. And second.
Chair, just as clarification, does that also include the receive and file for the audit?
It does. All right, then let's move on to our discussion action item 7A, SCE's market offer of long-term renewable energy. And David, please.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Chair Middleton and Vice Chair Chavez. This agenda item is related to the voluntary allocation market offer or VAMO process that's been ordered by the California Public Utilities Commission. Next slide. Thanks for the explanation. So the VAMO process requires investor-owned utilities like Southern California Edison to offer renewable portfolio standard energy to load-serving entities like DCE who pay the power charge and difference adjustment for those renewable resources that were acquired by the IOU before the LSE launched. And this process has two parts. First, the voluntary allocation that occurred last summer. And in that case, DCE required 100% of the long-term renewable energy resources that were allocated to DCE. And DCE is now participating in the market offer that SCE is carrying out. And that is for additional renewable resources that the load-serving entities did not purchase in last summer's voluntary allocation. You can skip to the next one, and then the market offer process is currently underway. Next slide, please. And so SCE opened the market offer on March 7th, a few weeks ago, and invited DCE and the other LSEs to participate. And the market offer gives DCE the opportunity to secure more renewable resources from SCE that will help DCE satisfy its obligations from the state for long-term renewable energy purchases. And this purchase would occur under the Energy and REC Sales Agreement that is part of the staff report. And that serves as a confirmation under the Edison Electric Institute Master Power Purchase and Sale Agreement and the related contract cover sheet. And the board approved of those documents at the September 2022 meeting. Now, in this case, DCE will bid a percentage of the 35% slice of SCE's renewable energy resources that they are offering in for the PCIA portfolio that's being offered for sale. And the delivery term for these resources is from CPUC approval of the agreement until the end of May 2040. So it's a long-term contract. Next slide, please. Next one. 2040. May 31st, 2040.
Okay.
So it's about 16 and a half years, roughly, term from the kind of end of this year to through May 31st, 2040. Okay. That's the delivery term. Next slide, please. So next steps. So staff is now working for our procurement advisors at the Energy Authority, and they're on the line for availability to determine the percentage quantity and the price that DCE will bid in the market offer. Now, the price for renewable energy is market-based, of course, and it changes constantly, literally every second, like the stock markets. The TEA estimates that the upper limit to the procurement cost is roughly $15 million over the term of the sales agreement through 2040. And this would be not really an additional cost, but simply a subset of the procurement cost that DCE already has to make for this renewable energy over that term for a renewable and carbon-free procurement. And the deadline to submit the bids is next Tuesday, April 11th. And then by May 31st, SCE will notify the bidders if they have been awarded and will report back to the board with the information on how that happens. And then if DCE is successful, then we would execute the confirmation with SCE. That's the agreement in the pro forma version in the staff report, for which Edison said, don't even think about changing. So what you see in the staff report is indeed what you get.
Okay.
Next slide, please.
Stop there, David. Sure. How competitive is the bidding process?
We expect it will be very competitive. So the challenge is, like any other auction, coming up with a price and a quantity that we think will be successful without overbidding, because you have to be very careful. And that's exactly the issue that we're working closely with T on. It is a long-term agreement. So the price that we are going to bid is the price we would be paying through May 31st, 2040. So it will be a fixed, fixed term.
So this is a significant fiscal commitment that we're making here. Why do we believe it's going to be beneficial to do this as opposed to the other alternatives that we have for purchasing?
It's an all-of-the-above process. The state in particular, as I mentioned, has strong and particularly stronger. They keep getting increased. Thou shalt buy more and more renewable energy. There are various targets that the state has set. So we would like to get it, but we're also mindful that we're not going to overpay. You recall, and this is in the process, that's also in the staff report, we do have an RFP out the door. We extended it for another 2 weeks, so we'll have that. But this is simply one of the many alternatives that we're looking for. And we did get earlier resources from SCE. We think that was a good a proposition. So we are already kind of working with SCE on this voluntary allocation and market offer.
And is it the other CCAs around the state that we are competing with, or is there other entities?
It would be what's called the load serving entities, which is all of the CCAs. Now, in this part, the voluntary allocation was IOU for IOU. So each of the DC and the other CCAs in Edison territory got a slice from that. The market offer is all comers, but it's for load serving entities, which is the other IOUs. So they could bid. SDG&E and PG&E can bid, and they probably will, and Edison may bid into theirs. We have all of the CCAs, 24 of us, and something called the energy service providers, and those provide the direct access. So some of our large Palm Springs institutions such as Desert Regional, and we believe also the Tribe. They're not with DCE because they are what we call direct access customers. They buy, they have contracts to buy. Okay. And so those entities, private entities, you know, corporations also are eligible. They're load serving entities and they're also eligible to participate. So that's the sort of population of who's called a load serving entity.
All right.
Yeah, but it's competitive. And once again, it's like any auction, you raise your hand and you hope that you probably bid the right price, but not overbid.
Yep.
And we're trying not to get too excited because we do have these other alternatives available. So next slide, please. So staff's recommendation is to approve DCE's participation in Southern California Edison's long-term market offer of its power charging difference adjustment, long-term energy renewable energy portfolio, and the long-term energy and REC sales agreement with Southern California Edison in connection with the offer, and authorize the executive director to execute the necessary documents should DCE's bid be accepted. That concludes my staff report. Open for questions. And Chris Weber from the Energy Authority, our procurement advisor, is also on the line via Zoom if needed for financial issues.
I butted in and asked my questions.
Actually, your questions covered a couple of the ones that I had, so I don't have any additional.
You need a motion to approve.
Motion, yes.
I move that we approve DC's participation in the long-term market offer.
Second, I think we still have to take a vote. So,
yes.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. No abstentions. Let me find my place here again. Next.
That's okay. I can help share. The next item on your agenda is the carbon-free commercial recognition program. As a bit of background, with us here is Brian Ricks and Josh Zipperman of Burke Ricks Communications. They have been DCE's marketing consultant since the beginning, since before the first attempt at a launch, and then through the launch. Before the board changeover, when Chair Middleton was alternate Middleton for the City of Palm Springs, there was a lot of talk from the board about how do we recognize and incentivize our customers to be carbon free. And this is something that has been a passion, I know, of our chair. And we bring Burke Ricks here today to give us an update on kind of our next steps on what we're calling the carbon free business recognition program. So with that, I will turn the floor over to Brian and Josh.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. As Erica said, we've been involved with DCE since its inception, and as with all things DCE, that comes with challenges and opportunities. One of the biggest challenges in establishing a program like this is the restrictions that we have on using the SCE data. So we can't mail to that mailing list. So that creates somewhat of a challenge for a program like this. But it does create an opportunity for us to create a robust enough program that it will keep people from opting out. And that's always been a concern, and we've had that. Eric and I have had those discussions for many years about how much is too much outreach because of the premium cost of this program. Also, if we make the program robust enough, and I will share with you some meetings that I've had, we think there may be an opportunity to get some businesses to opt back in to DCE. And we'll share a little bit about that. Next slide, please. So this is kind of just an overview of the basic components of this. First of all, it would be a business welcome kit, which would consist of a welcome letter for new businesses and a brochure that could be used for existing businesses, telling them about the opportunity for utilizing DCE for the fact that they're carbon free in their marketing. And that would then drive people to the website where we would set up a new page for this particular program. That new page would include some of the listings of these businesses. And next component would be promotional videos, which anybody anybody who's been involved in a campaign in this room knows how those work.
Yeah.
We do promotional videos, which then go on the website, and those would be cut into segments for social media and paid advertising to promote our businesses that actually participate in this program. So rather than us just launching into this, we were kind of charged with going out and talking to some of the businesses out there that are carbon free and telling them about this as a marketing opportunity and gauging their reaction.
Okay.
So the first one that we met with was the Avalon Hotel, the general manager. He's also the general manager of the Ingleside. I know him quite well because I worked on a project recently with him. Interestingly enough, he didn't understand what DCE really was or what it did. Even though he'd been in meetings with Jeff Kors, their general management meetings, where it had been talked about, but he didn't really understand it. But once he understood what it was and that he could market their properties as carbon free, he got it immediately. So he recognized it as an opportunity to incorporate it into his own marketing, and then the extra layer of us providing some support and marketing really liked. And since he's a friend of mine, he promised that he would not opt out or opt down. Because they are a very large user between those two hotels.
Sure.
So that was a really good meeting, and we got this sort of off to a really good start with him. Next slide, please. So we also went to more of a nightclub type of operation. We're pretty sure this works really well in the hotel space. And Reforma was very excited about the opportunities and also wanted to be a part of this program. Next slide, please. I mentioned that Ingleside Inn in Melbourne's same general manager, so I'll just move on to the next slide. And then Josh actually had a meeting at Porsche with the Porsche Palm Springs, which is the only LEED certified building, we believe, in the city of Palm Springs. So they are very into this. They brought their advertising agency, Cord Media, with them. They thought this was a great opportunity and really wanted, in fact, offered, they wanted to do some of their own videos. I mean, they were very, very excited about it. So, in fact, I believe they even offered to do a launch party for us at their facility. So, so that was actually, also a very good, meeting and response. Next slide, please. Again, we went to Chill Bar. They totally got it as well. Thought it was a great way to market and their business. Next slide, please. And Evan Truby, who is a council member in Palm Desert, has a business here in Palm Springs called Big Wheel Tours. Josh actually spoke to him and he was very excited about this. Sort of the common thread through all of these is they really want our marketing to be to consumers, obviously, because that's who's buying their products and services. So they were also great. Next slide, please. So we also went to a large nonprofit, which I happen to be familiar with because I'm on the board of this former board chair of the center. I spoke to the board about, what would it be for us to actually market us as a carbon-free operation? And they really all loved it. They thought it was great. They have never opted down or opted out, mostly because I didn't tell them that. No, because they wanted to be good corporate citizens and part of the city. So, but it applies sort of to a lot of, we tried to do a lot of different sectors to get sort of what the response was. So if we do a program like this, I want Josh to take you through kind of the, timeline and what we're sort of posing as to what we would do. So next slide, please.
So as Brian just walked us through where we just currently completed this first phase of outreach, looking at who are some of our potential carbon-free champions and who are some of those that we'd like to showcase as we launch this program, and also to get their input on different marketing, the marketing program, and different things they would like to see. So we're now then going to launch into the second phase of the program, which is sort of the development phase. So developing the welcome kit, the brochure, the welcome letter, the marketing program itself, what that looks like, the showcase videos, and everything that we have on the website. So folks that are interested in this program come to the website, submit their information, be part of it. They can see the showcases, the testimonials, and all that good stuff. And then what we do is then move on to a soft launch of the program, where we would actually showcase those businesses using the videos and the advertising. And then while we're doing that, also continue reaching out to existing businesses. Most likely what we're looking at is the reaching out to, you know, Main Street, PS Resorts, shops, some of the organizations in town, associations, the chamber, and talking to them about this, showing them how this is launching, what this is all about, and getting their input and trying to recruit a few more businesses. Right. So then that will kind of occur during this, the end of this quarter, and then into third quarter over the summer. And then as we move into over the summer, Q3, beginning of Q4, we'd be more into the evaluation. How are things going? What's working? What are people liking? So we kind of evaluate and refine the program. And I think part of that will also give us a good opportunity to really go back to the Palm Springs Bureau of Tourism and the CVB, and sort of see how we can really get their involvement into this program and leverage them. A lot of the feedback we received from some of the businesses was that they would love to see the CVB be a part of this and to leverage some of their resources. So we had initial meetings with David and Liz and Brian with the CVB and the PS Bureau, I think when former Chair Kors, and there was a lot of interest and support there. So really fine-tuning and refining that would be the next step. And then in the fall, in Q4, was when we do a full launch. And that would be really to marketed new businesses. So as new businesses are coming to the city and our new DC customers, they get the welcome kit. They get to see what all the marketing opportunities are. We have a really firm plan with some track record behind us. And we can also hopefully start building out a directory on the website and go from there. So those are kind of the next steps in the timeline for this program. And with that, I open to any questions.
I think there's some real potential to this. So my reaction is very positive. The questions would be, what steps, let me rephrase this. Are the steps that you're proposing going to be adequate to get extremely strong 80-90% of our businesses participating in the program?
Well, part of it is reaching out to new businesses, and we've talked about different ways of doing that, because obviously we can't, there's a question still looming as to whether we can, in lieu of the postcard that we send, advising people that they've been opted into DCE, can we use the welcome letter and the brochure, as long as we have certain information in that? Will that work, and would we be allowed to do that? Another option we looked at was public information, tell everybody who starts a business in Palm Springs has to get a Palm Springs business license.
Right.
Strong likelihood is those people are also going to, everything here is, you know, metered so that you have to pay electricity. So they're likely to be energy users that signing up for electricity. But
do we have a sense of other cities that tend to be resort cities? How many of them have CCAs, and particularly CCAs like ours that are focused on renewable energy as opposed to just trying to save money?
David, you might have that.
There We have Santa Monica, which is part of Clean Power Alliance. I believe Anaheim is a member of Orange County Power Authority. I would need to check to see whether they have anything. The template program that we're looking at is actually Valley Clean Energy. I believe that's the one we've been looking at, and that's in the Davis area. So while it's not necessarily a resort, we've got UC Davis, of course, in the center of that. And so they are quite just as Palm Springs is. They've been a leader in sustainability. So that's a good example there.
So where I'm going is, I think connecting with, Hospitality and Resorts Association, Greater Palm Springs Convention and Visitors Bureau, and being able through video to highlight what we're doing here and make that a part of the advertising for coming to Palm Springs is you will be coming to potentially the most renewable energy business location that's available to anyone who's making a recreation decision as to where to travel. And that's a pretty nice come on.
It is.
And it would be one that would reinforce for our local businesses why it's important to participate in this program, because then you list all of the businesses that are members.
We had an excellent meeting. I believe Liz was there and Josh and I was there and David.
And Chair Middleton was there, I recall.
And, with the CBB.
Yeah.
And they were very supportive of this, but basically said we don't have any money to allocate staff time to this. So, I mean, there would have to probably be some examination of that. They were very clear that they would help, but they didn't really have the staff available to do it on that side of it. So we probably have to go in and make that a priority for them.
But we're also kind of doing some of the heavy lifting for them with doing the video, doing the testimonials, doing some of the advertising. It's really just how can we cross promote and get them involved.
I mean, we're getting the businesses involved. So that's the hardest part of this. And the tricky part, as I said at the beginning of my presentation, is getting them involved without alerting them and having them opt out,
And Chair, I recognize and staff recognizes that this is taking longer than we anticipated.
Yep.
And this is something that the previous board certainly and you had expressed an interest in, and it didn't quite happen as fast as we wanted. And because of the complications with data, one of the things we're mindful of is not going too far ahead of ourselves either at this stage. And we appreciate the board's patience as we, and I think part of what you're hearing from the timeline is a little bit of a slow launch and a rollout to demonstrate its effectiveness, to demonstrate the interest, and then hopefully then it'll be a quicker ramp up. But all fair points, and certainly recognize it's taken longer.
We got great feedback from the businesses that we talked to. And so we really had nobody that was negative about it. It was more of them actually understanding what DCE was and how they could use it to market themselves.
And
this is a long-term investment.
It is.
And so I get what you're saying.
It is. And as we look ahead to the board, the next budget cycle, which you will get a preview of at your next meeting. These are all the things, the reason we're coming to you now, right, is that we've got these ideas and we have, this is going to take some resources. And based on your initial feedback, if there's interest that in continuing, then this will be something we look at from a financial standpoint and bring back to you as well with the budget.
That's good. And what we're doing now is also just working within the capacity of our budget. We have enough to get the videos going and all the materials going.
Our contract comes up, I think, in June, but we extended it, but without additional budget, but we have enough to do what we've outlined.
I do have one question, and I apologize because I'm coming in the middle of the movie. when we talk about, you know, budget for next year, I'm curious what metrics are we going to be including in here so that we know that the program is successful? Is there, are we talking about that yet, or is that premature to ask?
We submitted a budget.
I'm talking about the program itself. Are we including metrics that we're going to be tracking so that we can determine whether or not it's successful?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I think the number of businesses that we can get to opt into the program, and then the number of businesses that we can keep upgrade. That can upgrade. There's lots of different metrics we can track. How many stay with DCE, you know?
Yeah.
We can also survey to see the awareness of the program overall.
Because right now they're getting a postcard that basically says you've been opted into this program, and it's a postcard that nobody's actually probably going to read. And it has a lot of text on it. And so it would be nice if we could simplify that and give it a message of both sustainability, and the other message is you can use this to your benefit. And I think hopefully that would result in a higher retention rate and less people dropping out or dropping down.
If I could just build on that as a bit of background, one of the things we have found with DCE, because we're serving cities. We have found that direct marketing and social media, targeted social media, be really strategic. This is a board that has been made sure to maximize its dollars, and even like with something as simple as Facebook ads, rather than broadcasting to everybody, right? Really narrowing down the market and using strategies like that can help. But certainly the idea of data and metrics is a great one, and we'll be sure to work with our team to make sure we reevaluate what other metrics, whether it's percentage of engagements and anything else, to make sure the board is fully aware.
And all the businesses really wanted us to do advertising, social media to help support them in that particular area.
One other business that I think it would be good to follow up with is Zeb recharging. I think they're actually rolling out a lot slower than they hoped they would be. But their owner was very specific that DCD played a role in their decision to be in Palm Springs because it gives them the opportunity.
They're the ones that are at the art museum, right?
Right. Yeah. To advertise, you can charge your car with renewable energy.
And Porsche really felt that was a big piece to their story as well.
Yeah.
That they're not just powered, that their building isn't just powered, but the vehicles, right, especially their EV vehicles, that are powered, and kind of the end users getting that. So it's like,
I hope that what they told us they were trying to do, they're actually able to accomplish, because it will be a really nice testimonial. But
yeah,
I've not seen the evidence yet that they're pulling off everything they're trying to get.
I think they have to get investors.
Good. Great. Well, this does not require us to act on it, but please keep going forward.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Next item, 8, is an attendance record. These are informational, along with the unaudited, the annual supplier density and renewable. Are there any questions or comments from anyone? Then we will receive and file that information. Number 9 on our agenda is public comments on non-agenda items, and I don't see anyone in the public. Am I missing anyone?
You are not, and we did not receive any written comments.
Okay. Then announcements. The next meeting will be May 15 at 3 p.m. back here in the large conference room at Palm Springs City Hall. And unless there are an objection, we are adjourned until May 15.
Chair, I do have a conflict on the 15.
Okay.
I'm in budget that day, so.
Okay. We can work with your respective teams to find a date. I know we're also looking for a date for the June meeting. So for the record, for the meeting record, we will note that we will follow up with a notice, and our team will be in touch with your schedulers to coordinate.
your and just to be also for the record, there's some differing opinions on the use of teleconferencing and such, and CVAG and its entities, DCE, are all advocating for the continued use of virtual meetings. In the meantime, we'll be here in the fair city of Palm Springs. And for those of us who live here, much appreciated.
Thank you. Yes. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.